All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you.
This one is for my readers. Are you tired of endlessly searching for your next great read? Well, let me tell you about Book of the Month, where the thrill of discovery meets the joy of reading. Sounds fun, right? Okay, so what I adore about the Book of the Month is their meticulous curation process. With just a handful of carefully chosen titles each month, they've mastered the art of making your next read an easy decision. If you're tired of making decisions, let's make it easy. And let's not forget about the fun factor. Every aspect of their service is designed to celebrate the love of reading and make it even more enjoyable for members like us, down to the cute blue box the books are delivered in. Now let me tell you about the April pick. I've tapped into The Husband's a Novel by Holly Gramazio, and let me tell you, it's a pretty interesting read. It gets into the complexities of marriage and identity, and it's set against a backdrop of mystery and suspense. It has a pretty intriguing plot twist, and there's some character development that's pretty good too. So I think you might enjoy it. Pick it up if it interests you. And if you're ready to embark on your next literary journey, head over to bookofthemonth.com. And guess what? They're offering our listeners a special deal. You can use code PASTEL at checkout to get your first book for just $5 this month only. That's code PASTEL at bookofthemonth.com to get your first book for $5 with free shipping always. Come on, my readers. Don't miss out on the chance to discover your next favorite read with Book of the Month. Happy reading.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom question you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she's overcame. This book becomes a legacy and something you and your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm so excited about MyLifeInABook.com because I'm planning on gifting my mom with this. She's always loved reflecting on memories and sharing her stories, and I know this will be the perfect gift to capture those moments for her. The thoughts of her flipping through the pages and reliving those cherished memories brings a smile to my face already. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code BRAVADO at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code BRAVADO for 10% off today. This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Blacker Bravado Podcast.
A motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, mental health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, when we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our intention is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back, boo-boos.
Boo-boos.
Gumdrops.
Boo-boo gumdrops.
Boo-boo gumdrops.
How's it going?
It's going good. How about you? How's your weekend?
It's going good. My weekend was great. Great weekend. So, Friday.
Nice black-ass weekend.
It was a black-ass weekend. I mean, we are in Black History Month. So.
Period, poo.
Set it off proper.
It's already about to be over. This is the last week
Somebody
of the month.
Somebody said January took all day, but February went by so fast.
I'm like, damn.
This month went by so fast. Now I feel like that's how the rest of the year is going
to
go.
Yeah, rent is already about to be due.
Oh.
I'm like, oh.
I'm tired of paying rent.
Paying rent again, huh?
But yeah.
In Black History Month, my manager should have gave me my rent free. Actually, come to think about it, nigga, a discount.
We should have 1 month free of rent. Like, to give a discount, they should be like, okay, you get to choose whatever
what month it is.
Yeah, you don't have to pay your rent this month.
I think so.
But anyways, back to my weekend. My weekend was nice, like I was saying. Definitely was black as fuck. Kicked it off with bowling on Friday, which was a good old time. Did I win? No, Jack.
I'm like, wait, what? But I think you were second.
I was second.
We had a little family game night.
We went bowling. It was fun.
Yeah, I've had some large margs.
The margaritas were crazy. And then we should have, you know, I'm glad we made it. We were out drinking margaritas all night. And then we had to be up early in the morning for a run. So that was what our Saturday was.
That's resiliency.
On Saturday, we participated in a 5K with the Keep It 100 Run Club, Nike. It was, wow, beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, all those black people, first of all, black people are just too damn fine.
Oh.
Black people really are. Like, we are really magical.
A beautiful people.
So seeing all those black people out there early on a Saturday morning in Leimert Park, which is historically black.
Yeah.
Black community in Los Angeles. Just ready to run and to support one of their own people.
That's what I really think it was, the support. You know, like, a lot of people know Butta and know what Keep It 100 is and what it means to the community. And people were just out there ready to walk, run, jog, have their babies, their strollers,
do whatever
their kids
you need
out
to do
there
to get to the finish line.
Love it. It
and
was a good time.
It was also very inspiring because, like Butta, the founder of Keep It 100, mm-hmm. was saying that he started this run club about 2 years ago. With no real, well, he did have an intention, but no real idea or expectation that it would grow as much as it has grown in such a short amount of time. He just wanted to get his family and friends active, encourage them to be active and get out and moving and be healthy. And from there, this has kind of just skyrocketed into something much bigger with a weekly run club, multiple days a week. So many events, many opportunities.
Nike backing it up.
Nike backing it. And it was just really beautiful to see and very inspiring as someone who is doing something very similar, of course, in a different market. Or not market, but a different lane.
Yeah.
And that was inspiring. I'm like, look at you. Look at you, brother.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And still being able to maintain your blackness.
Yeah, that's the
even
best
while
part.
Partnering with these brands, you know, being able to be authentic, not having to quiet your voice or, you know, remove elements. There was a DJ out there playing our black ass music to get us started before we started walking and running.
Everybody who was out there working was black.
Yes,
like
the Nike
the
people,
the community, the team. It was just a great, great thing. It was great for the people, great for the city. And really great for Nike because they've gained great partnership and people who believe in But thus believing in Nike, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't go out and run, or not me personally, but, well, me personally too, shit. But
me personally.
Right. Pardon me, y'all. The day drinking has gotten the best of me. People who wouldn't even think to run or do be a part of a run club have now joined the run club family because of Butter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was just a great time. A good old black ass time.
A good black time. So chilling. That was Saturday. And then Sunday.
We went to a day party.
We went to a day party where more margaritas were consumed for me.
Yeah. Whiskey for me.
And
I really love living in L.A.
I do too.
There's so many things. That's the weather's why they always
charge
nice.
Us so goddamn much.
But the weather's nice. I was thinking about that, like, wow, look at the day.
The weather's nice. There's so much to do.
If like you wore shorts in I February.
Wore shorts. Yep. I wore shorts.
Dude. And I had my toes out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen.
And we didn't
everywhere.
Look crazy.
Mm-mm.
The weather was appropriate. And there's always so much to do. If doing things are your thing, you can find some shit to do. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the weekend. How was your weekend?
Equally good. It was the same. Bit by bit, moment
same
by moment.
Same activities.
Yeah, exactly. Everything was exactly the same. So it was a good time. Next week, we turn it up. So stay tuned. We turn up
every
weekend.
There's a lot of turn ups on the agenda.
There's something to turn up to every damn near every weekend for the next couple weekends.
For March,
follow
be excited.
Us.
Be excited.
Follow us, ho.
You know, expect that we will have something to say. You know, so that's always fun.
Yes.
We may learn some new things. So, new week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with we.
So, this portion of our show is where we dish a little tea about things happening in pop culture most of the time, things happening with us some of the time. And, you know, this is where we get our opinions and our jokes off. Basically,
yeah,
that's what this portion of the show is. We put our little two cents in, and y'all get to hear what we got to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was going on this week?
So, unfortunately, last week, yeah, we've been experiencing a lot of L's, taking a lot of L's in the year of 2020.
Man.
But we just want to say our condolences because we had some people lose their lives.
Sad.
So, Pop Smoke.
Tragic. That was sad.
20 years old.
20 years old, so young, just getting started in his career.
Yeah.
I heard that he was going to be a force to reckon with. That's what I was hearing in the streets, like, Pop, watch out for Pop Smoke.
Like, that makes me sad.
I'm like, who the fuck? Why the fuck? And like, that is not cool for you to think you can just come through taking somebody's life. And then, you know, one thing that kind of bothered me, like, people got on the internet immediately after it happened, like, he had his address exposed and they shouldn't have been taking pictures. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but people shouldn't be coming in taking
that shouldn't
life.
Cause you death.
Period.
Like, me putting my address up shouldn't mean I should be killed.
Period.
I don't think that's fair. That's not a fair trade-off.
It's not a fair trade-off.
Like, maybe you have fans waiting outside your house now, or, like...
And then it's, like, the energy and the attention gets focused to something that, in the grand scheme of things, is majorly minor
yeah.
because a life is gone, and it's insensitive. And I know we want to, like, pick apart and figure out why it happened and, you know, what could have been done to prevent it, which I get, but damn. I'm like, you guys... Let's just it's the times I think it's the time thing the insensitivity
yeah
and I know it's because it's
and
like if there's a disconnect we don't know a lot of us we don't know him personally
and we've also been desensitized
we
like
have.
With social media we literally hear people dying about people's deaths as soon as it happened it's not there's no filter between us the internet death all of it is just kind of like it coexisting together. So I think people just say whatever the fuck they want to say because it's like, oh.
Yeah.
And like you said, everybody wants to have a moment. Like,
everybody
I said this joke.
To,
yeah, like, everybody wants a moment that's going to be retweeted, liked, reposted. It's just like.
It's the urgency to say your piece.
Shut up.
It's the urgency to say your piece or, like, to be a part
to
of the
heard.
Conversation.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's hot. It's a trending topic right now. It's what we're talking about right mm-hmm. now. And so, yeah, there's that. So it's sad, though. Rest in peace to him.
Pop Smoke, yeah.
Unfortunate.
Another life. B Smoke. Sorry, B Smith.
That's not funny.
It's
girl.
Not in lightheartedness
yeah.
in the moment. We love to make light of, have light around, you know, things
Serious.
That might be sad.
Yeah.
So it ain't B Smoke, y'all. It's
B Smith.
B Smith. We've talked about B Smith here on the show.
We have.
Lost her battle to Alzheimer's.
Sick disease.
Sick.
My great grandmother had it.
Mine too.
My great grandmother have it, and my grandma, knock on wood.
Oh no,
she
not claiming that.
No, my
Casper.
Grandma doesn't have it,
oh.
but she likes to be like, you know. I'm like, you're calling
okay.
it in.
Stop,
grandma.
Stop.
You don't remember things for other reasons. But yeah, really.
Our grandmas are just the same because, you know, Grandma said they trying to say I got early dementia. I'm like, that's what get my off my phone.
That was what my grandma was
I'm
saying.
I'm like, Grandma, we like, not get goodbye
off the phone.
I'll talk to you later.
Period. But B. Smith, she was an icon.
Yeah,
beautiful woman, beautiful black queen, 70 years old, lost her battle. May she rest in peace. She has been battling for a while now. Mm-hmm. So there's some comfort in knowing that she no longer has to fight that sick ass disease. Mm. And then we, lost one of our own, one of our sorors.
Yeah.
Catherine Smith. You may be familiar with her from the movie
Hidden Figures.
I was going to say Helping
Hands. She was one of the iconic Helping It. We need to get off this mic today. One of the instrumental people.
Figures, people, yes.
Within, NASA, and watch the movie if you haven't. But our soar gone at 101 years old.
She lived a good. Now she good lived life. A good life.
Yeah,
long. Yeah. I'm sure she went out and she when she met our maker, he said, "You used all that I gave
you. Yes,
there you was have nothing left."
She probably up there kikiing with Ethel.
There was nothing. Okay, she probably like Ethel.
Remember
home
me,
homegirl. Yeah. The sorors are down there cutting up.
Right. She probably they said made it
the
up
The sorors are down there doing things that we didn't do.
Right.
Y'all know what we be doing. But anyways, yeah, she lived a nice full life.
Yeah.
And rest in peace to her. She's another one. Iconic.
Yeah, iconic. So, yeah, rest in peace. Prayers to everybody, all the families, everybody who's affected. We gonna keep this bitch.
We
want to
turn it around, so let's turn it around with our queen Rihanna. Let's turn it around with Rihanna. So Rihanna, this past weekend, NAACP Awards came on.
Which can we have a moment for everybody? I was rooting for everybody black.
Everybody black amazing. Looks beautiful.
Everybody, okay, not a soul left behind.
I mean,
out there.
I don't know the makeup.
Yara's
hair. Yara's makeup, Yara's look,
Marseille,
Angela,
Lena Waithe. We have so many people who were Janelle Monáe, just iconic.
Rihanna looks amazing and
iconic.
She gave an amazing speech.
She did.
So she basically was like, you know, white people, they want to break bread with us. They want to work with us. They want to collaborate with us. They want us to be the face of their brands. They want to say that they're allies. So if you are an ally, black issues are everybody's issues. They're not just limited to us. Okay? During this Black History Month. So if you want to call yourself an ally, then you need to pull up.
Yep.
Pull up. Help us. Help us face these issues.
Hop out. Air out.
And make it look sexy. That's what Rihanna was basically saying. So.
That girl.
Rihanna has grown.
So well.
I mean.
She's a beautiful flower. She feels like an elder to me.
Beautiful flower.
She looks like an elder. She feels like an elder. I'm like, wow,
I
sister.
I mean, just think about everything Rihanna has been through. So, you know, she came out and she was like timid. She seemed like more like a little modest, timid.
16. Yeah. She was also young.
She was also a young tender. And then she had the tumultuous relationship with Chris Brown that kind of made her be seen in another light.
Then she turned into a bad gal.
Then she turned into a bad gal, Riri.
Bad
That's
gal.
When she transitioned into a bad gal, Riri. And from then on, she was like, you know what? I'm going to just be the baddest bitch.
And man. She has not let up.
She hasn't taken her foot off our neck.
She got that haircut. The haircut is what changed things.
After the under my no, it was after Umbrella.
It was Umbrella with the haircut.
That was when she had the little the bob. Oh, when she did the short, the anti.
Yeah, it was R rated R.
Rated R.
Rated R.
Once she took it R, she took it there.
She's been grabbing us ever since.
I'm a fan. I'm going to start a Rihanna fan page.
She can do no wrong.
She has kept. She is the epitome of keeping her foot on our necks. I mean, I haven't been able to breathe.
And she stayed black as fuck while doing it.
The names of the Fenty Beauty products.
Because
I'm black.
Like.
The hot chocolate.
Everything.
Which I need to get.
Yeah, you
that
do.
That Fenty gloss, that hot chocolate Fenty gloss. I need to get that one.
Rihanna's our sister. Right under Beyonce is the Queen Ri.
It's Rihanna.
Queen B, Queen
Ri. Beyonce walk.
So Rihanna could fly, okay?
And I'm hoping I can just
run.
As soon as Rihanna takes off, I can hop on the back of her coattail and fly with her because sometimes I feel like I'm crawling. I'm like, when will she get her feet?
When will her feet touch
when
the ground?
When will I be able to walk? The Bambi. So anyway, that is the tea this week.
Yeah.
Do we have anybody?
No, actually, we're not done with the tea. Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein. Ugh, sicko. So Harvey Weinstein was convicted of, what was it?
Rape. But not predatory rape.
But not predatory rape and not first degree. He got convicted on some of his lesser charges. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, thank God those women came out and spoke. Their efforts were not in vain.
Period.
So we want to congratulate them and give them their kudos for speaking out when I'm sure it was difficult, painful, and also the fear of maybe you not being
believed
or
blackballed,
whatever could have happened. So Harvey Weinstein is behind bars. I hope they keep him there. I hope he gets a good amount of time. And so we can stop saying free Bill Cosby. Lock the motherfucker right next to Bill. Yeah. Line him up.
Put him in a cell together.
Line him up. We can stop that narrative, the free Bill Cosby narrative, because now Harvey Weinstein is in jail as well. So that's that on that.
Period.
That's that on that.
We're moving on.
Do we have anybody for You Know You Need Your Ass Beat?
Ooh.
Anything that can come to mind? I'm trying to think if somebody crossed me last week.
Who needs their ass beat? I don't know. Do you have anybody?
I don't have anybody last week.
Oh, you know who need their ass beat?
Who?
Both people. Ari Fletcher and Alexis Skye.
Yeah.
You need your ass beat for going online and going back and forth with each other.
About nothing.
Get off. Log off right now.
Yeah, they cut up.
I'm sick of it.
They need their ass beat.
That's why the internet was so ghetto last week.
Yeah, and so anybody who's participating in back and forth, ghetto girl back and forth, you need your ass beat and you need to log off. Delete that account.
Bye.
Okay, we're not here for that. We're not going to be tearing each other down, queens.
And you know who else needs their ass beat? Who? A loving little beat, a little whooping? Y'all, because the ratings and reviews. We're not going to be telling y'all this all the time. Pull up.
Yeah.
That's what Rihanna said. Pull up. Okay, do your part. It's extremely important for you to rate, review, subscribe to this show. That's how it gains visibility. That's how other people decide if they're going to stay or leave.
That's exactly how. And I want to read this review of the week that shows exactly why it's very important for the ratings and the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So this comes from Bree B95. She says, thank you. I needed something new and fresh for my daily commute to and from work. I stumbled across this podcast just by browsing, reading descriptions, and reading what other listeners had to say.
Y'all heard that. Her words, not ours.
Rewind. Reading what other listeners had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I decided to give you ladies a listen. Your podcast is now a part of my daily routine. I love the authenticity and realness. What put the icing on the cake was finding out we are sorors.
Skiwi. Hey, soror. Y'all love letting us know. Yes. We're sorors.
We're sorors.
We are.
Looking forward to all that y'all have in store for the future.
Thank you,
Bree. We appreciate you for leaving your rating and review and for also going through, taking the time, reading the descriptions, and deciding that this was something you wanted to give a listen to.
We're so glad to have you. Welcome to the game.
Yes.
Really quickly, this is a call to action. While you're rating and reviewing, go onto your Instagram app and make sure you follow us at the Black Girl Bravado. That's not it. At the Black Girl Bravado Pod.
Yes.
It's extremely important. Numbers are everything.
Yes.
Y'all don't even know how many people are downloading this podcast. We don't even got to get into that. But we need a percentage of y'all to follow us on Instagram.
We need you over on Instagram. So if you just happen to find us by scrolling through the podcast app, we're on Instagram too.
Mm-hmm.
So follow us there.
Follow us and make sure you share the episodes if it resonates with you. Share it, screenshot it, tell your homegirls to tell a homegirl.
Very important.
Mm-hmm.
Another very important portion of the show is Patreon. So Patreon is where we gather your support monetarily as creatives, as people who are trying to make this a lifestyle so that we can quit our white man gigs and mm-hmm. pour all of our energy, our time, our spirits, just everything.
To giving you more content you love.
We need coins. Mm-hmm. We need coin, and a way that we get coin is over on Patreon. And there's three different levels you can join us on. And we provide additional content, episodes, videos, playlists, journal prompts,
affirmations,
all kinds of things. And we're constantly thinking of ways to improve that platform over there. So please join us on Patreon. Again, find which level is most fitting for you.
But
and
if
then
you join,
make your choice.
But if you join at the homegirl, at the Soul Sister level, pardon me, you get the Homegirl Depot pin for free. So make sure you meet us over there. We got some good shit popping off. And to show our appreciation, we are going to shout out our patrons, our Homegirl patrons who joined us this week.
Yes, we are. So we have Jania.
Hey, Jania, girl, what's good?
Jania, what's good?
What's good?
Zevin.
I have a sister named Heaven.
There you
literally.
Go. Literally. Kiana. I have a sister named Brianna. Hey, Kiana.
Hey, Kiana.
And then we have Chelsea.
Hey, Chelsea. What's good?
Chelsea, I had some Chelsea boots. The brunch boot.
The brunch boot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So thank you all so much for joining us over on Patreon. We're almost so close to our 100 patron goal. Get on the train.
Get on the train.
Get on the train. We're going to have a giveaway over there for all the people who are patrons and continue to be patrons. Get.
You don't want to miss it is what she's trying to say.
Get prepared for some good shit. Okay. So yeah, let's go.
So last week's episode was episode 133. The affirmation that we shared was resources are constantly flowing towards me. I have an overflow of the things I want and need. So in part three of our Love Is series, we're chatting about relationships and the relationship we have with our coins. So we called up our homegirl and America's favorite financial educator, Tiffany, the Budgetista Alice, and she gave us all the money tea. The whole rundown on everything coins.
I mean, kit and caboodle.
Yes. So we chatted about how to create a successful budget, ways to improve our credit scores, and how we should approach paying off our student loans. So if you missed that, make sure you tap in. The girls really were coming back to us.
They were feeling it.
Yeah, with feedback, letting us know how valuable it is. This is the best time to start thinking about your money, how it's going to work for you. We're at the top of the year, so you can put some good techniques in place that'll help carry you through the end of the year, because we need you paid so you can join us on Patreon.
Period.
We also be seeing the reviews where y'all say y'all gonna get y'all money up and come see us on Patreon, so let's do it.
And we've been writing down all of your
each
names.
each one
we've been writing down all of your names.
Yes.
But yeah, money, your relationship with money is very important, and we just want to do our part in normalizing those conversations, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to make it taboo. We don't want to feel like money is something we don't talk about, because that's what's been in the past.
And we want to relinquish the fear and the anxiety around having conversations about
money. Yeah, because it is scary.
Because a lot of times people are like, I don't even want to talk about it because I have all these money issues, or I feel like a failure based on my choices, when we need to move out of that mind state.
You got to move out. That's the scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's fearful at first, but it's going to only get worse or never get addressed if you never take the first step. And the way Tiffany delivers the information, I really like, because she meets you where you are. It feels like it's possible. It doesn't seem like, oh, that worked for you, but that wouldn't work for me. We got different stories. That I don't got the retirement account.
From
I don't make
the bottom.
This. I don't make $100,000. She was making $30,000 a year.
She had a 500 and something credit score, 543, 547. Yeah. And rebuilt her credit. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, listen to the episode. Let us know. We really appreciate her for joining us.
Yes.
So
This week,
we're continuing our Love Is series, because there's a lot to talk about.
There is.
There's a lot to talk about. But today, we're going to be talking about the relationship archetypes. Mm-hmm. So, Germany and I are both 31.
We are.
I wonder when are we going to stop just sharing our age so openly and freely?
I don't think ever. I love getting older, and I love being like lit. I love looking like a bad bitch. So I'm like, hey, yeah, this is how old I am. I'm not ashamed.
Okay, well, there you go.
You think you're going to stop wanting to be like,
okay. No, I don't think I'm going to stop. But, you know, I don't know if it's just a thing of the past, but people are like, you don't never ask a woman her age.
I think that's
not
dated.
Not shoe size, her age. And then they're like, you know, a woman doesn't tell her age.
I think that's antiquated. And I think also women who are like empowered by wisdom, what they're learning, like growth is not a big deal. It's like, this is how old I am.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, if you're a bad bitch, you got your shit together, you making moves, you working on yourself, you don't care how old you are.
Okay, so to piggyback off of that, we are both 31, right? And so in our 31 years, we've encountered different types of relationships. Haven't you?
I have.
I have too.
I have.
We've encountered different types of relationships. And we were listening to this podcast.
The Mother Loving.
Yeah, we were listening. We were listening to a podcast, and they were just talking about how they encountered different relationships, and we were like, we kind of get it, but this applies to us in a different way, right?
Yeah.
So, the three different types of relationships are soulmate,
life partner, and a twin flame. And we know everybody hears that all the time. I want a twin flame love.
I know for a long time I was just like, I want to meet my soulmate. Mm-hmm. I want to meet my soulmate. You are my soulmate. being a little ignorant to what a soulmate was. I'm like, I want a soulmate. You're my soulmate.
Please, Lord, send me my soulmate, Lord.
But through experience and also like just learning and acquiring more knowledge, I've realized that there's a very distinct difference between these three different type of relationships. And I think we thought it was important to share it with you listeners because you all may be in the same dark space we were in. Dark space of like just not knowing.
In the space
knowing.
Of contrast.
Yeah, of not knowing and also wanting to gain more understanding. And so that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, essentially we just hope that you can use these archetypes, whichever, tomato, tomato, as a guide so that you understand how to move forward in relationships as they enter, as they come and go from your life, right?
Yeah.
We can ultimately have peace when we're dealing with people because that's really what we want. I don't want to be in turmoil dealing with your bitch ass.
And that's really where the struggle comes from because sometimes relationships teach us different things and show up differently in our lives. We may find it hard to find peace because of the way it ended, the fact that it ended.
Yeah. The fact that you were labeling it something that it wasn't, trying to fit a circle in a square. Or actually a square and a circle.
Square and a circle, yes. Yeah.
Either way, you're trying to put somewhere it don't belong.
Yes.
Okay.
So let's get into the types.
Yeah.
So the first type is a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
So our definition of a soulmate is a person with whom you connect deeply with. There's passion here. You can learn lessons from this relationship, but you still feel like there's a big piece missing. So maybe the missing piece is that they don't have everything that you want in a partner. Maybe you want your partner to have a certain characteristic and they don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But you still feel so deeply connected to this person, which will probably make you a lot, not make you, not probably. I know for me it has, make you feel like a pull. Like I need to be.
I'm supposed to be with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be with this person because we connect so deeply on
so many
different levels. But you know that there's something that's also very important to you that this person doesn't possess. Some sort
and
of
can't provide.
And can't provide.
Right. And you can circle back to our episode on core desired feelings. Do that work first, beloved.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Figure out what it is that you want. And even if you haven't gone and done the really deep, deep work of like core desired feelings, but just on a intuitive level, a human level, like, do you want somebody who is loving, who's respectful, who provides,
who's
considerate, consistent, and you know that the person is everything, but they don't got no money. They can't provide for you. Yeah, we attached, we're connected, but you don't have everything on my list, my boy.
Or maybe they make you feel like, you know, let's say you want somebody that can provide, is consistent, but the person is not really nice or kind.
Or doesn't go out.
Or doesn't go out and do things that you like to do. And so they don't have everything. There's still a big piece missing.
Yeah.
But the thing with soulmate relationships is there's like this comfortability that feels like home.
Mm-hmm.
And because you feel so deeply connected to this person, it may be a relationship that doesn't last, but there will always be some love there.
Yeah.
Like I'm not with you, but I still care about you and I still love you.
I feel like majority of the people that I've dated, because I have personal tea now.
Personal tea segment?
Because I only really have serious interactions. It's rare when I have something that's fleeting. I never knowledgeably get into something that's quick and fleeting,
mm-hmm.
like a hookup or a situationship. I always go into it with the intention of like, I'm gonna be yours, you're gonna be mine,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I feel like a lot of the relationships that I've encountered or that I've been in have been soulmates for me.
Mm.
Like,
so you feel like you can have multiple soulmates?
Yes, I do. I think that a lot of people, I'm hot, can be your
every
soul.
Time you start telling your business, you get hot.
My
how
tea.
Coincidental.
It's my tea. But yeah, I feel like relation that you can have a soulmate who isn't romantic. Like I say, you're my soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my mom and my sister
so
are
what
like,
lesson am I here to teach you?
You better not leave.
Okay, well, you know, they don't necessarily leave. Maybe they just transition into a different. You know, when I was reading about soulmates, it says that a lot of the times they do leave your life, like saying like the relationship ends. So the way that you guys interact is different, but sometimes they stay. I think the ones that stay are like the friend ones.
Okay.
Because a friend can be your soulmate. I think that you're my friend's soulmate too.
Yeah.
Because
you look like your mom when you did that.
One of the characteristics of a soulmate, a way that you can identify someone as your soulmate, is that, like, again, because you feel so connected, you intuitively know what the other person is thinking or feeling. Like, mm-hmm. you can tell when the vibe or the energy is off immediately. I mean, that's how I feel with my soulmates. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Right. What's good?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's tea?
And then when the person's like, nothing, you're like, no, something's up.
Yeah, definitely.
Something's up. And you just feel very in tune and connected with this person's thoughts and actions.
Yeah, I really felt like that about my last relationship. I'm not going to lie.
Same.
Yeah. Like, that relationship taught me so much. And even from the beginning, I think we were saying, we're soulmates, because I really didn't understand.
We were for sure calling each other
soulmates.
I mean, but after, go ahead and finish. I'd be cutting you off.
No, it's just a conversation. It's dialogue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like he was my soulmate. There's a lot that I learned about myself. I feel like there's a lot that he learned about himself, things that we learned about each other. And even up until recently, I was like, bro, you know we're family.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't have to be together, but there's that.
Yeah.
Can't give you that. But we're family now. The brother-sister vibe. I mean, not really brother-sister, but it's just like a natural feeling of like, wanting to see him do well. And like, although we're not together, it ain't no tea, no beef, nigga. We still good. What's good? And I let him know that.
That y'all are family?
Yeah, off the rip, forever. Like, I mean, of course, with boundaries.
With boundaries.
Yeah. He's like an extended cousin now. You know?
Can't give you pussy.
Yeah.
But I care about you and I love you. Yeah, yeah. I feel the same way. I feel the same way. And I do feel like, the intense connection and pull can really jade you to make you think that, oh, I have to make this work. We have to figure it out. But sometimes it's just not possible because this person wasn't meant to be more than what they are, what they were. Yeah.
Whatever. And not saying it's going to be one lesson. Maybe it's the bid like we had to do.
Multiple lessons. Yeah, you learn so much. You learn so much. And that's why you may meet these people several times. It might not just be one soulmate. It could be a lot of different soulmates because you were in a lot of different relationships and maybe you had a lot of different lessons to learn from different people.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm like,
maybe
I guess,
I've only had two relational soulmates.
I had one. The other niggas were nothing to me. You were nothing to me. You taught me nothing.
My relationship before this last one, I learned a lot. That nigga was crazy.
So you learned he was crazy? What did you learn about yourself?
I mean, I feel like I was a soul.
What's the lesson
I learned
for
to be
you?
Patient. Okay. That relationship taught me to be so patient. So when I entered my next relationship, which would the one I was just in forever.
You had patience.
My patience was like, I was like a master. I was like, bro, I could deal with you because I just deal with somebody who was psychotic.
And what do you think you learned from your last one?
Oh my gosh. Like, so much.
That can be like its own episode. What I learned from my ex.
Yeah, we'll take that into
love is what the fuck I learned. So yeah, I definitely learned a lot too. I'm hoping I don't have much more to learn. Look, I'm 31, like we said earlier, and I don't need no more soulmates.
But it's funny, you don't choose your soulmates. You don't choose when you get a soulmate. You don't get to choose like, okay, I'm ready for a soulmate, I'm not ready. Life and spirit just guides, and then here you are
for the lessons
here dealing with. So you know what, really, when you're asking for a soulmate, you're asking to grow, you're asking to be expanded.
And I think you will probably stop attracting soulmates or entering soulmate relationships when you learn the lesson. Like, sometimes you may be delaying because you keep having to learn the same lesson,
the karmic relationship,
over and over, when there's another lesson you may need to learn.
But see, I also read this. The higher you get in your vibration and the more you learn, the more soulmates you'll attract. Like, doesn't have to be like relationship, like romantic, mm-hmm. but like you'll keep attracting like so that you keep growing.
Got
people
it.
That you can keep, you know, revisiting and having shit cracking with.
Got it.
But I know what you mean.
You know what I mean.
I don't want the sick bit again.
As far as it goes with a soulmate relationship, feeling like, you know, deep connection and passion, but not really something that's supposed to be sustainable.
Yeah.
I want to transition past that. And, you know, it just comes with doing my part.
I'm ready to transcend.
Learning the lessons and moving on. So if you feel like this, if you can identify some people that were like, oh, okay, that was a soulmate, you can find some peace and comfort with knowing that it ended, although there was such a deep connection and pull, that doesn't mean that that person had to be your person, and it ended for a good reason.
And maybe they were your person while they were your person, and now it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you ain't my life person.
Yeah.
You're just my now person.
You were my person, and I still got love for you. Isn't that a song?
Yeah.
Are you still down?
Yeah. That's John B. Are you still down for me? Hey. It's there in your eyes, in your eyes. I can see it in your eyes. I can see that you want me. By the way that you smile. I'm an ad-lib queen. Hey, y'all. I just wanted to pop in and give you a little tea on a brand that I'm loving right now. When it comes to beauty products, we have so many options. So why not ask for more from your favorite beauty brands? I'm motivated now more than ever to stick to high quality, amazing products that are both vegan and cruelty free. A lot of you know I'm plant-based, so finding great beauty products sometimes is challenging, but it's rewarding when you do. So Thrive Cosmetics are Leaping Bunny and PETA certified, so they're 100% cruelty free, which is great. Also, Thrive Cosmetics gives back. They participate and donate to so many programs that and causes, actually, that are helping women emerge from homelessness, helping women who are surviving domestic abuse and who are fighting cancer. My latest obsession is the occult favorite mascara, honestly, truly. And it's the Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. This is amazing. It's really cool. It builds up your mascara and builds up the volume and the length without clumping, and there's no flaking or smudging. I can wear it for days. I don't really like to say that, but Brittany knows. Sometimes I don't like to take my mascara off. I'll just wear it the next day. Dirty little secret, but it's really great. So if you are somebody who's looking for great clean beauty products, you might want to try out Thrive Cosmetics. So right now, you can start thriving and helping women in need today by going to thrivecosmetics.com/BBB and use code BBB, Black Girl Bravado, for 15% off your first purchase. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSMEMETICS. .com/BBB for 15% off of everything you want to try. Let's get back to the show.
Okay, so let's move on to the next relationship type.
Let's get it.
So the next relationship twipe.
The twop. That's the type's twop.
The type is a twin flame.
Woo!
So what a twin flame is a deep past life connection. And this relationship triggers wounds and causes you to evolve deeply within. The twin flame. So
there's so many dynamics to a twin flame.
The twin flame is very layered and it's very deep. It's very layered and it's very deep. And again, I don't know if we said this in the beginning, but just a disclaimer, you may not encounter all these different types of relationships. You know, you may just be able to skip to the final one. Your nigga,
life partner,
your woman, your bae, your husband, life, your wife, your life partner. So don't feel like, damn, I got to go through all this before. No, these are just three different types, and you may encounter them all. You may not encounter them all, and you may encounter them multiple times. So back to what was being said. The twin flame. This is deep. So the way you can identify twin flame relationships, here are some characteristics that may present themselves. These type of relationships are extremely passionate, but they're not so healthy.
Can be. We don't want to say that all of them, because there's so many dynamics, again, to the twin flame connection. Essentially, the idea, before we get into that, signs.
Mm-hmm.
The idea behind the twin flame is that essentially you two are both in some other life or somewhere else spiritually, right? And you were just so large that your energetic cloth,
your soul was split into two,
and your partner, the other half of you, descended to wherever they went, and you went wherever you went. But of course, the contract to coming back together and finding your other part is that you have to be whole. So essentially, it's two pieces. That's why it's a twin. Yourself split into, you guys go, and then you come back together. So you're always like a mirror of one another, and it's sick.
So when you come back together, that's what the twin flame relationship can be.
Is, yeah.
It's the two different pieces coming back together.
Yes.
And so because there's so much connectivity, mm-hmm. because it's like you two knew each other in a past life. That's why there's like, you may feel like you've known this person for years and you just met them. You just met this person. Hey, da-da-da, you're talking. You're like, oh my God, I feel like I know this man.
Yeah.
I've never felt this.
I have.
I'm hoping I'll meet a twin flame.
How did it
feel for you?
Sick. I said, go. Get out. Go now. Get out. The JoJo, cue the Deborah Cox. You're not supposed to be here. All those songs that tell a nigga to go, go. Get out of my
life. But when it first happened, you didn't feel like go.
Oh, when it first happened, I was enamored. I was like, yo, I met this person. We've been together for 4,000 years.
And I've heard that from more than just you. I heard people say, we knew each other in a past life. And I'm like, tell me more. How did you know them in a past life?
That's really what it feels like. That's the only way that there's this like no space time continuum. Like we've been together there, here, in the future, 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes. Like it's so deep. I'm like, hey, I know this nigga. Where I met you before it.
And I think because of that, twin flame relationships can feel very extreme and very intense.
And
you
almost
feel like
toxic.
You know this person so well. Mm-hmm. You feel like we've already done this together, which can create like this fire.
Yeah.
Like a literal fire mm-hmm. in between you two. But
this is like you're my person on steroids. Mm. That's really what I felt like. Like you're my person, I'm your person. There's this accountability that almost is unhealthy.
Yeah.
That is what I felt like. Oh my gosh. Like I'm so accountable to this person. They're so accountable to me. I'm like, back off, dude.
Yeah. And because there's this familiarity and because this relationship is here to trigger you and cause you to evolve. You guys, it's like you're a mirror to each other. Mm-hmm. So you see all the things about you that need to be fixed, which is triggering as fuck, mm-hmm. and they see all the things about them that need to be fixed. Mm-hmm. You guys put a mirror to each other like, this is what's wrong with you.
Wow.
This is what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's very subtle sometimes because it's like, it may be in conversation, like, actually, I noticed the way you deal with people is like this, and you might need to take a look at that, and you're like,
wait, hold up.
Who the fuck are you to tell me?
Right, right, right.
Or maybe they might not even use that language. Maybe it's just that you notice that you guys bumped heads so much in this area and that allows you to take a look at the part that you played. And that's how you learn something new about yourself. Like, mm-hmm. okay, the way I was showing up in this intense, almost like kind of chaotic, volatile, triggering type relationship has caused me to learn this about myself that I wouldn't have necessarily learned in another relationship because it wouldn't have been that energy. We wouldn't have had those type of interactions to bring that out in me,
yes.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the twin flame relationships.
It's like a super high, 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 super low, low, low. But it's really important to remember that everybody we call into our lives, no matter who they are, soulmate, twin flame, life partner when we get there, friend, whatever it is, it's all meant to teach us a lesson and to mm-hmm. show us about ourselves. So when we call in our twin flame, there's really some lessons that it's really like you're about to be shown some shit.
Broken apart.
Mm. Say that again.
And so then I know some people question like, okay, so can my twin flame transition into something else? Like, is it possible for me to meet a twin flame and, you know,
coexist, there's this person
that, yeah, there's this person that I feel like I've known forever. There's so much passion, there's familiarity, and I want to make this work. Like, is it possible for a twin flame to become something else, or is it just, that's your twin flame and that's it?
Of course it's possible. We know someone, Tamiri, who was on our astrology episode. She married her twin flame. The big part of being a twin flame and it working is that you guys have to heal individually first. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to come to the relationship like a life partner would. Mm-hmm. Whole, healed, connecting. Because remember, you're two halves that need to make up one. But if y'all always fighting, then it ain't going to function right.
So probably if you're in a twin flame relationship, right? And you guys both recognize that there's areas of opportunity. You can decide, hey, we both got some shit we need to work on. Mm-hmm. Let's work on it together. And then the relationship can evolve out of this twin flame status.
Yes.
So it has to be mutual agreement, not like I'm gonna work on myself, but he's not working on himself.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be both parties willing and understanding that there's some work that can be done here and making the steps to get it done.
Yeah, the twin flame relationship, you either transcend and heal or you destroy each other.
Mm.
It's like you either ascend or you descend.
So if you find yourself being destroyed by a twin flame relationship, if you're like, oh my God, I can so identify that I was in that type of relationship and maybe I still have some wounds that need to be healed. Here are some steps. So just first of all, give yourself grace and understand that there are people that you can work really well with.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that you're meant to spend your life with them. I think that's where we have the biggest battle, because there's so many commonalities and there's so many like good parts. But the real thing is like, the parts that aren't so good are really significant.
Yes.
And that's why it didn't work. And just because you work well with people in some areas doesn't mean that you have to compromise or force other areas to work. It's just you can find peace with understanding that, okay, that worked well, but you're not someone that I have to spend my life with. I got
it's
what
not
I got.
A vibe.
Yeah, I got what I was supposed to get. We got what we were supposed to get and learn from each other during that time. And I'm just going to be okay with that.
Yes.
And move on.
You can also be thankful and express gratitude. They even awoke certain parts of you that you didn't know existed, right? Like learning about yourself and understanding how you're triggered, what makes you react the way you react, how you're treating another person. All of that stuff goes into your growth and your evolution. So we can express gratitude for these lessons and move on.
Causing yourself to dive deeper and learn yourself more. I think what we see a lot is after breakups, when women go on these healing journeys, they evolve into better versions of themselves, because it's like these relationships, a lot of the times they break us the fuck down.
Mm-hmm.
They crack us open.
Mm-hmm.
And once they end, all we're left with are the pieces that we have to pick up and put back together. But during the pick up piece portion, if you're really intentional about it, you can learn so much about yourself, how to deal with other people. And then you start to attract better and different relationships into your life. Relationships that are more aligned with who you are, who you want to be, how you've been hoping you show up. And so although we feel pain and hurt and all that other shit, it's all for a reason.
Yeah.
So that can help you in your healing process. And also, like, if you're healing from this type of relationship, just make sure to surround yourself with good people, positivity, high vibrational food, mm-hmm. Activities, participating in activities that make you feel good. Just stuff that can help guide
enhance
you.
Your vibration.
Yeah, guide you towards the person that you know you are meant to be.
Yes. So next,
we don't have
last.
To be the woman scorned.
Because when a woman, I'm not even about to say that. Yes.
Oh, yeah. No.
Fuck him.
Yes.
So anywho, lastly, we want to talk about the life partner. So life partner, this person, you both are passionate and loving. You guys have a joint mission. Essentially, you live happily and content. So your twin flame can help you recognize your life partner, which is kind of what we were talking about. This person can be your life partner. And they all ultimately, these soulmates, all these steps that you might take, not have to take, they show you lessons. You learn from them. You go on your own journey. And then you're able to hold space for your life partner. Right? Because now you guys both have reached a place of wholeness, self-acceptance, and self-love, so you can come together and be the best you.
Yeah. With a life partner, it takes a lot of getting clear about who you want to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then figuring out what's the best type of partner to help bring this out in me.
Yes.
Because a lot of the times we get with people who stifle us.
Yeah.
And don't help what bring out our purpose. Like, I'm not saying they have to create purpose in you, help you discover purpose. That's for you to do. But whoever you decide to be, whoever you decide to make your life partner, they for sure need to be enhancing that.
Supporting your mission.
Supporting you.
Yeah, supporting your mission and not distracting you with drama.
Yeah.
No matter what that drama looks like, right? Creating roadblocks and fucking obstacles. Like, hey, my nigga, you're supposed to be supporting.
Right.
If they
know that your mission or your purpose involves you, this is a good example. Say, for instance, if I know that my purpose and my mission involves me, like, not being at home a lot, traveling, always on the road, taking meetings, just, you know, not really at home a lot, and the person that I'm thinking is my life partner wants a woman who stays at home, cooks and cleans, is always readily available, you're not helping me. You're not helping me fulfill my purpose.
Yeah, and you're not supporting my mission.
You're not supporting my mission, and because of that, you wouldn't make a good life partner for me, because what I'm passionate about is not aligned with what you're willing or able to support.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that would look
like.
So
maybe they're a soulmate.
Yeah, maybe you're a twin flame. You causing ruckus. You're causing ruckus in my life. Also, in life partner relationships, there's ease.
My favorite word ever.
Isn't that one of your core desire feelings?
It is. Ease. And that's why I had to get out that twin flame relationship. I said, we ain't sticking around here too long.
Yeah, there's ease. And ease can look like being able to be your complete self.
Yes.
If you feel like you have to turn down parts of you or do things that aren't necessarily in flow to make this relationship work, then chances are it may not be a life partner.
And we're saying ease, not easy.
Not easy.
Because those are different, right? Yeah. Ease is like, wow, flow. Ease to me feels like flow. Like, it feels right. It feels like alignment. It's like no forcing. Easy has to do with a level of skill, difficulty, or a level of difficulty.
Yeah.
Shit is hard. Even if you're with a life partner, if you're with a soulmate, even if you don't identify any of these relationships as anything, the situation is relationships are hard.
They're not they're work. Easy. They're work. But
right.
They can have ease. The overall theme should be ease.
I love ease. That's my favorite thing ever. I like want to be an easygoing person, as in ease, you know, and create ease for my people around me. So I can't have somebody who doesn't also evoke ease within me.
Yeah.
Nigga, I can't be her peace.
why I saw this tweet that says, y'all want angels, but you're not creating heaven for her.
Wait a minute.
Y'all want angels, but you're not creating an environment of heaven.
Period.
Saying that basically men need to be more romantic.
Yes.
You know, I'm all about romance.
Come on.
I want my nigga to be romantic, okay? Go all out. Do it. Do a backflip. Wow me. I don't like basics. Or people are like, you know, we just... No. Go out.
Yeah, go all out.
But they were like, you want people to be your peace, but you create the environment for demons.
Right.
You want an angel, create heaven.
Yes, don't create havoc and chaos.
Don't create havoc and things to make me be demonic.
Right.
I want to show up as an angel.
My wings on. You got my horns
and
on.
And all white.
I got my horns on.
And I have
on.
To show up in red in my ruby woo.
Right.
Throwing ready. Shit.
Ready to take some shit down.
Because they want to play. So I'm like, you know, yes. What were we saying? That definitely, we got to create.
Ease, you got to be yourself. Ease, so with your life.
I'm repeating what she said. Ease, be able to be yourself.
The echo.
Right.
So the life partner relationship has a deep, solid, steady love, right? So you might not initially experience these crazy fireworks or like, oh my God, I'm erupting from the inside.
Yeah.
But it's like deep, you're connecting. You know, it's just steady
solid,
and consistent.
Yeah. Because I can identify... And soulmate relationships, you know, when it's like a thing.
Yeah.
We're breaking up. We're getting back together.
Turmoil.
You know, we're breaking up. We're getting back together. So much like intensity and passion where I haven't met my life partner. But what I can imagine a life partner being is just like, you know, we ain't doing all that.
No.
Situations come up. We talk about it like adults. We figure out a solution fairly quickly. You know, yeah. We're not playing the little games. I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm going to be out on my story. Whatever it looks like when we play the games we play. You know what it looks like. It's just a very solid foundation that doesn't make you feel like you're up in arms are kind of like battling each other.
I also seen that the life partner relationship might not start off like super, like the twin flame is like, we know each other. It can move really, yeah, really intensely. It can move fast. Like, because I know you forever. Like, I feel like, you know, we well past this, that thought. The life partner is slow, very intentional,
very
foundation building, friendship. Like, it's really like, you know, consistent. I think like, it's not all crazy where high energy. It's just like, okay, we're moving. We're going out. We're hanging out. We're having dates. We're talking on the phone, but I'm not like overwhelmed with you. You're not overwhelmed with me. And yeah, we're just getting it done.
And poop. I think sometimes even that may make people question the validity of a life partner relationship, mm-hmm, because you're so used to intensity and like immense passion and things moving a little quicker. You may begin to question, Is this person even for me? Like, yeah. I don't feel the sparks. I don't feel like, you know, this fire inside of me.
Which hopefully there's attraction.
I mean, yeah, attraction is necessary.
Yeah.
It's Mando. We're not eliminating attraction. But I'm just saying it's a different type of feeling because it's such a contrast to what you're used to dealing with. It can be, you can kind of talk yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Or you may think, oh, maybe this person is just supposed to be a friend.
Yeah.
Because there is like a friend energy with attraction. But you might be like, oh, I'm a friend zone this person because I'm really feeling how I felt with my other relationships. But that's the thing. You shouldn't be feeling like that.
Right.
You should be feeling completely different.
But once you have the tools and the knowledge and the resources,
once you understand,
you'll know how to categorize these fools.
Yeah, you'll understand. And so with the life partner, there's a spiritual connection, which is very important to me.
Me too.
I'm like,
you believe in God?
I want to be connected spiritually because I feel like that helps you go beyond the surface. Mm. Spirituality is a major part of my life. So, nigga, what's up? Do you believe?
Are you a believer? You know what we mean when we say believer.
Are you a believer?
Are you a believer in Christ Jesus?
If you get to tell him you're not a believer, then you can't see her. No believer, you can't see her. And when I say her,
I mean me.
Hers. You can't see it.
Okay, so there's also a yin-yang balance, right?
Yeah.
You bring something to the table. They bring something to the table where they're night, you're dark. You know, there's a very nice, harmonious balance. Because with the yin and yang, you know how I got the little swoop in the middle.
Yeah, you know that was a thing.
That's like the harmony right there.
The woman's body, honey.
That's the harmony that you guys bring. So although you don't bring everything that's the same to the table, there's a nice, great interchange. It's like a great potluck.
Yeah.
A great one. You hear me? I say a great one.
A great one.
It's not
that
a terrible
means we
one.
Ain't picking over. It's not the potluck you be having
at
your
work,
job.
Okay. This
it's
is
like
a amongst friends.
Yeah.
A friendsgiving. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a great balance of everything that's good. Everything that's good that you bring. We have some challenges, but we're working it out.
A great balance of feminine and masculine energy.
Yes.
It's like I'm not dealing with a hyper masculine person. And at the same time, I feel like I can turn off my alpha.
And let
I
my,
feel safe to turn off
I
my
can
alpha.
Let my beta rise.
And I can turn on my woman.
I can turn on my beta.
I can tap into my feminine. That's when I'm a no. That's when you know. When you can turn off the alpha. When I want what he wanted, he blindfolds me.
Stop. Wait, what? What does that have to do with turning on? I know.
Because I was singing, then I get sexy on him.
So when you can get sexy on him?
No. I'll probably make me sexier.
Oh.
Because I'll be more tapped into my feminine.
Yeah.
Instead of feeling like I got to ride or die in the masculine. I've been over in my masculine for too long. And I need to hop back over to feminine. Feminine. She's making it. Period. The moment.
Wow. This girl.
So also back to my professional. Also, life partner relationships are based on logical and intellectual decisions. These aren't flighty decisions. This isn't something like, you know, you just jump into and dive into.
Yeah.
And I think this is key for me. I'm all about logic and intellectual. When I feel like, you know what? I feel good about this. This makes sense. It makes sense instead of like trying to make it make sense in my mind. Like, you know, I think this could work because da 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 da. It just works because it works.
Yeah. Quick one. Hopefully there's flow along with the ease and your natural state doesn't trigger them.
Yeah.
I've been with people where it's like my natural ability to be optimistic and a type B personality it's triggering to them. And they type A personality triggers me.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, you're annoying. That was just a sidebar.
I can see that.
Yeah, so you don't want to automatically be triggering.
You don't want them to trigger you, and you for sure don't want to trigger them.
I just want to coexist with
imagine
you, baby.
Imagine being yourself, you being yourself, and somebody getting triggered by that. Like
I've been there. I've imagined.
I saw things.
I imagine. Also, you guys both feel a sense of financial and emotional stability around each other. You pay the bills, you pay the bills.
And my emotions feel
And safe. I feel good about it.
Yeah.
And I feel good about it.
I feel good about it, and I know that you can handle it. Definitely need that. Emotional and financial. Usher. What?
Can you handle it?
If I go there, baby, with you. Also, your relationship is based on being physically present.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the here and now. And create a new
here
memory.
And now.
Promise to love faithfully.
I promise. Faithfully.
You're focused on creating new memories.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We ain't living in the past. We ain't got people coming banging down our doors and trying to figure out why you talking.
What?
I'm thinking about like some of the past relationships. Like if people come up, old people come up out the blue. Like, why are you talking to my man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that way. Also, likely your life partner, if you believe in the idea of marriage, could turn into a husband or a wife for you, right? Because you guys are meeting each other's needs. You're where you are. You'll feel this. You will feel the need to want to cement your relationship
mm-hmm.
with a family or a commitment.
Family.
A family.
Yeah, or a taking commitment. It to the next level.
Yeah.
So
that day drinking really got me fucked up.
You should have took one of those cough drops.
A lozenger.
So yeah, again, these are just three types of relationships. They're not the only types, and you don't have to experience them all, but ultimately our ultimate goal is to find life partners.
That's what I'm waiting for, is my life partner. So if you're out there looking for me, I'm looking for you.
So put that down, be intentional. Like, instead of just saying I want a soulmate,
I don't want a soulmate. Keep the lessons. My soul has learned enough.
I said you know what, I'm tired of learning. I'm ready to graduate,
period.
I've been held back. I've been taken to continuation school.
The nice
I'm ready to graduate.
Yes.
Give me my degree, and the degree is my life partner.
Yes.
So we hope this information was helpful for you. Again, we love to extend the conversations. We can weigh in on this in the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell us what you think, because this is not Bible. This is opinion. But yeah, meet us over there at the Homegirl Hangout, the Black Girl Bravado Podcast Homegirl Hangout on
yes.
Facebook.
So now we're going to transition really quick. We have a girlfriend gay.
Okay, yes.
Girlfriend gag.
What do we have?
So every now and again, we'll sit down and do a girlfriend gag. This is the part of our show where you can send in your comments, your questions, your
concerns.
Your concerns, your stories, things that you want our advice on, things you want us to weigh in on. Again, this isn't gospel. This is just our fucking opinion.
Yeah.
So if you want to send your shit, send it on over to contact@theblackgirlbravado.com. Again, contact@theblackgirlbravado.com. And we'll gag about it here on the show anonymously. So we got an email from a homegirl. She says, hey, homegirls, I have been dating this guy for almost 3 months and everything is cool. The one thing that bugs me is he is always bringing up that him getting girls isn't a problem. If he wanted to have a lot of girls, because he basically can. Things like this come up in conversation a lot. I'm like, what is he trying to say? It's irritating because I know I can get any guy I want, but I don't brag about it.
Mm.
Period. That's where it ends.
So what was...
I think she didn't leave out what she wanted us to address.
Okay. So basically she just has an issue with it and wants to know how we feel about it.
How do we feel about it?
I feel like he must be insecure. If you have yes. to keep bringing up that you can get so many girls when you have a girl, okay, what you want me to do with that?
Or go get them, bye.
Or go get them.
I mean, but what do you want me to do?
I feel like it has very little to do with you and everything to do about him and how he feels, because he has to keep reiterating that he can get these girls. I don't know if he's trying to convince himself
or make
what.
Himself think he still got it. I mean, y'all only been talking 3 months. Yeah, nigga, you can still get girls. You just got me 3 months ago.
Right. You got me.
Like, this is new.
And I got you long as you got me.
This is new. I think that's definitely good, like you mentioned about insecurity. Just ask him, like, babe, why do you feel the need to say that?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've lost your mojo because we're together?
Right. Am I not affirming you?
Yeah.
Like, what is the reason why you're saying that? And hopefully he can let you know, or maybe he might be like, you know, I don't know, I didn't really think much of it, but I'll stop.
Yeah, and he can address your concerns. And if not, maybe this isn't the type of person you want to be with.
Yeah.
Because it's going to start weighing on you and making you feel insecure.
Right.
Because when you're out, you're going to be like, is he out there trying to prove that he can get girls?
Right.
I don't know how old his friends are, if he hangs out with friends, but you know, niggas be immature sometimes.
Yeah.
And it just might put you in a position to get hurt because he's already insecure. And you know what they say,
hurt people.
So just tread lightly, have an honest conversation with him. If he doesn't stop this, then probably make a decision if this is what you want to do, if this is in alignment with who you're trying to be.
Your life partner, if that's what you want right now.
And a life partner, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
So we hope you all, again, enjoyed this episode. Please share it. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, group chats, wherever you share things, share it there. We appreciate it.
We love it so much, and we love you so much.
Yes, we do, and we will chat with you all next week.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.